You had earlier said something to us about Ed Warren and a story about a monastery, how it affected him personally. You may have told me that last year, John.
I think you're referring to the experience that I just had this past weekend at a monastery. And I was there, you know, at a retreat with so many different people and everything. And it was Saturday evening. And I definitely believe that human spirit can and does communicate with us after they do leave.
Okay, so this is a new event then.
This is very recent. Fortunately or unfortunately, depending on how you look at it, my uncle has tried to communicate through several different people that are personal friends to get information to me because I always keep my guard up because I don't like to be tricked. Andy's aware of some of this because I've discussed some of this with him.
Sure.
My most recent event, being in this monastery, and the events and everything that transpired, I had gone up to bed. It was about 10:30. And my uncle was very notorious for always screaming my name out. He would go, John, John, John. And I'd go, what? What do you want? You know. And he would always put his hand on my shoulder and squeeze it twice.
Right.
He was notorious for this. And so I heard my name. I went up into the cell. I kept hearing my name being yelled out. So I sat up and I said, what do you want now? I want to go to sleep. So I didn't think too much of it. I went to go lay back down and I got the two squeezes on my shoulder. And I went, uh-oh, he's here. And how in the world could anything be tricking me inside a monastery, you know, to this point? So I'm thinking about it and everything, and I decided I was going to get dressed. I was going out into the gardens at this time of night and go sit up in the back and just think for a little bit. So I was walking along this cliff that looked down over the city, and as I was walking, I thought it was a monk that was alongside me, and I saw the face. I just saw the black robe, didn't think too much of it, and I, you know, just said, hey, Padre, how you doing? And he was standing there towards me, and we were walking along, and he said, just always remember, I will always be with you. And I stopped, George, and I turned and looked, and I said, what are you talking about? And he was gone. He was there was no one there, nothing whatsoever. I looked around the gardens. I'm looking to see if anybody's around. No one was there. So it was a very significant thing, I feel, that he was trying to get across to me at that point in time, because the morning he collapsed, I was with him, and he just got into this in-depth conversation with me, and he just kept telling me, no matter what happens, don't ever worry, because he always called me the kid.
Right, and he was ill, right?
No.
He was. Was this sudden?
This was sudden when my uncle collapsed.
All right, but I thought he had some problems before that.
Well, he had, you know, a couple of heart attacks.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, but he was not in bad health when he collapsed.
Okay. So
he actually, I can tell you, the week of, he was at doctors and things like that. So, but anyways, we were sitting there and having a conversation, and he just piped up and he says, you know what to do. I'm not always going to be around, and he says, I'll always be with you. Don't ever worry about anything. And I looked at him and I says, why are you talking like this? And that night he went down. And actually, I wrote this story up in 2005, and it's up on my website under stories.
And I've got a couple websites for you linked up. Which one do you recommend we go to for that?
You can go on to the www.prsne.com. website under the stories.
Okay.
And this whole story is there about the day he collapsed. But it takes you by surprise how these things occur, how they happen, and how beautiful is something like that, that you think about that, and it's a beautiful type situation, knowing that people you cared about, people you loved, are no longer with you, but yet they still try to communicate with you in many ways.
I love that. Mitch from way down under in New Zealand writes, I'm going to give this to you, Andrew.
Okay.
What do we know about lucid dreaming and the spirit world Do they try to communicate with us that way?
Yes, they do, both the good and the bad, unfortunately. Many times in the spirit world or in the dream world, I believe this is one of the easiest methods for them to communicate with you. Most times it won't make a lot of sense when they're trying to communicate, but there will be some little tidbit of information they're trying to convey to you. It'll come forth in a dream, maybe in the middle of the dream, maybe something that seems a little odd. I know in my early years of working in paranormal investigations, particularly the negative ones, I had problems with being attacked in my dream world by the negative entities. So, yes, spirits can convey information to you by lucid dreaming.
How do you protect yourself, Andrew, in a situation like that if you have some demonic spirits trying to get at you, even in your dream state?
I learned back many, many years ago that when I woke up from this situation was to not just ignore it and let it go away, to address the situation. I would command the spirit, whatever it was, to go away through the name of Jesus Christ, and I would bind it and forbid it to come back, these type things. And, you know, I would get, like, anointing oil, holy water out, stuff like this, and bless the room I was in. And typically after I'd done that, I would not have any more problems. But if I did not do these things, typically when I went back to sleep, the problem would start all over again.